Welcome back to Gospel Games, where the goal each week is to give you some helpful tips and tidbits for increased ministry fitness and effectiveness. My name is Mark Fodale, and it's my privilege to serve as your trainer and your host. Now, last week, we began to unpack the practice of spending regular, even daily, personal time in the Word of God. And in that episode, we looked at the practice of daily devotions and discussed the reality that, though we are free and even encouraged to make this a part of our daily routine, we are not compelled or commanded by the Scriptures. The portion of last week's episode that I think really summarized our training in this area is captured by this brief excerpt. Let me read it to you. As far as the practice or discipline or habit of daily devotions, let me bottom line you. You get to spend time in the Word each day, but just because you get to doesn't mean you have to. Did you hear that? You are free to have a daily quiet time, but you are not commanded. You are invited to come, but you are not required to attend. And that's what we talked about last week. Now, hopefully, the effect of last week's episode was to free you from the burden of daily time in the Word, while at the same time increasing your desire to spend time in the Bible as often as you can. You know, that this points out an amazing reality in the life of a Christian. While the gospel propels us, the law often repels us. That is, when we are driven by a sense of duty or guilt, the law, our desires seem to wander and often weaken. Whereas when we are drawn by a sense of grace and gratitude for all that has been done for us by Christ and who we now are in Christ, the gospel, our desires and even our practices seem to strengthen and even grow. You know, this reality was captured centuries ago in a very, very short poem that has been attributed to John Bunyan, the author of the classic work, Pilgrim's Progress. And he wrote this: "Run, John, run, the law commands, but it gives us neither feet nor hands. But far better news the gospel brings. It bids us fly, and it gives us wings." Let me repeat that for you. "Run, John, run, the law commands, but it gives us neither feet nor hands. It's far better news that the gospel brings. It bids us fly, and then gives us wings." And so even as you and I consider the great privilege it is to have God's Word and to be able to read and study God's Word, you and I must work. You heard that right, work to be motivated first and foremost by the gospel. The gospel alone bids us fly and then gives us wings to soar. Okay, so now let's consider how to soar in terms of the topic at hand, spending time in the Word. So let's assume the stage is set. You're exercising your freedom and joy in Christ to open your Bible. You know, it's you and God time. And you're ready, you're eager, and you are grateful. Now, here's the question as you begin. What are you after? In other words, what do you want from your time in the Word? What is it that, if you get it, will make that time a success? And conversely, what is it that, if it is missing, you might be tempted to think that your time in the Word was edging close to a failure? Those are the questions I want to answer and address today. And let me begin by suggesting what I think is a sad reality. And it's this: what we are often after in our time in the Word may be good goals, but we often fall short of the very best goal. that what we often seek actually circumvents the main thing that we should desire. And therefore, we are often inclined, at least in the long run, to be unmotivated and to struggle in the process. Now, sounds esoteric. Perhaps an example from my own life will help flesh this out. You see, for many years, my goal in my personal time of the Word was simple: to learn how to grow as a Christian. Or, as I grew, to study the Bible more deeply so that I knew more about it. And so, when I opened the Word, I was driven by two questions usually. Lord, how can I serve you better? And Lord, how can I understand your Word more? Now, perhaps this reflects the way that many of you approach your Bible time. God, help me to understand, well, me. God, help me to understand your Word. And so I would diligently apply the Bible study steps of OIA, you know, observation, interpretation, application. And I would then look for areas which I needed to repent. And I would search for new ways to serve God and be faithful in my walk and talk as a Christian. Now, I just want to be clear. I love OIA. And I am deeply persuaded that as Christians, the Word of God is given to guide our repentance and inform and instruct our living. No doubt about it. However, something happened some years ago that brought to light that I had inadvertently made secondary things to be primary. That's right, I had let the main thing no longer be the main thing. And I tell you, this all started with a magazine that my roommate in college had left out that I picked up and began to glance through. Boy, am I really dating myself with that example. So, as I recall, even to this day, the author of that article suggested that amidst all the good things that should be involved in a personal time in the Word, there was one best thing that should always rise to the top of the list. And then the author quoted King David in Psalm 27, verse 4. Where David wrote, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Wow, there it was. The primary goal in the Word, the main thing, was to behold the beauty of the Lord. I remember thinking, how could I have missed that? The first goal as we approach the Word of God is to spend time with the God of the Word. To embrace that first and foremost, the Scriptures are the self-revelation of God to his people, and therefore to allow that self-revelation to be the main focus. To approach time in the Bible with this question: God, what does this passage say about you? Where is your beauty revealed? Where are your purposes and plans made clear? Where is your justice proclaimed? Where is your grace displayed? Amazing! Having time in God's Word be about God. You see, as I read that article on that day, it became uncomfortably clear I had made time in the Scriptures all about me. Now, in one sense, that wasn't at all surprising. I, in my sin, like to make just about everything about myself in some way. Don't you do the same about you in your life? But that day, my unstated but now fully exposed goals for my time in the Word had been made clear. They were enormously self-centered. Hey, God, thanks for this time together. Now tell me about me. What do I need to do? Where am I off track? I mean, friends, can you imagine having time with a dear friend or someday with your spouse and sitting down and going, okay, I love this time. Tell me about me now. So I realized that's what I was doing with the Lord. And that day, as I was unmasked, my focus slowly by God's grace began to shift. More and more, my first question as I opened the Word was, Lord, would you please tell me about you? I just simply want to behold your beauty. So here's a thought, just as we close. Certainly the Word is a means for us to be convicted and trained and encouraged and equipped. Certainly we should study the Bible deeply and accurately to mine all the depths of what OIA can reveal. But perhaps before we do any of that, we should spend time beholding God in His Word. And could it be that if that is all we get out of it, to use a common phrase, that maybe that should be enough? Now, just to close the loop with our podcast from last week, please know that this encouragement to behold God first in your time with Him is an urging, but it's not a requirement. It is a recommendation from your online trainer here. It's not a law from your master. So be drawn by the gratitude that flows from the gospel rather than any thunderings that might echo from the law. And as you do, I'm going to pray that what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 34, verse 8, would be true of you during your time in the scriptures, that you would taste and see that the Lord is so very good.